session back in order. I apologize to the public for being a little bit late in starting this meeting. We've been running late all morning, but I do apologize for the delay. So without further ado, we'll turn it over to Dennis with planning and zoning.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Got two agenda items for you today. The first one is an application by NGL Water Resources for a conditional use permit for the construction and development of some water injection wells and a water injection facility. This will be located on property just west. It's located on Sand Draw, being west of the Anticline Disposal. They are working in conjunction with Anticline Disposal for some of the water mitigation and such down there. They have recently just purchased all of this, the ranch property here that you see. It's a little over 2,000 acres. And what they would like to do is in, now let me turn these sections on here. Within section 21 and section 22, they would like to construct four and possibly five deep water injection wells. And it would be to handle the cleaned water coming out of the Anticline Disposal and injecting that back into the ground. Went through, it works in conjunction with, and it's real similar to the Anticline Disposal and how it works. So all of this was agricultural land, and we permitted this with conditional use permits. So that is how I'm proposing to handle this. Also would be to place conditional use permits on these two sections for the construction of a water injection well injection facility for NGL to work in conjunction with Anticline Disposal. I had sent this out with for some of the comments and stuff to Wyoming Game and Fish. They came back with the normal comments about wildlife stipulations, sage grouse stipulations. There's also some permitting that goes into place that would also work in conjunction with Wyoming Game and Fish for the construction of the pipeline or any of their permitting with that moving forward. Also, I got a letter back from Wyoming DEQ, which all of the water injection wells will be permitted through Wyoming DEQ and built to those standards. So everything, as far as that goes, seems to be in place and makes sense. I do have two representatives here, Mike, with NGL Water Solutions, and he would be able to answer any other questions that I could not answer. Planning and Zoning reviewed this, and they recommended, I believe, 5-0 for approval.
So I guess, Dennis, the understanding is with the standards set forth by DEQ, which I'm sure you that would be up to your you guys to meet those standards, that would give us the assurance on any impact on air quality, problems, pollution, whatever.
Yeah, right. The DEQ, Wyoming DEQ, is the governing body that oversees not only the permitting of the wells themselves, but the air portion as well.
So, I guess it's we were to assume that if those standards were met, then our concerns would be met with regards to those issues.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, we're working very closely with the DEQ and trying to get permits for both the wells as well as the
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, for Dennis, I guess, why would this not be a change in zoning to industrial as opposed to conditional use in ag? for that portion of it where the injection wells would be?
For that portion of it, we have in the agriculture zoning, there is some of the different, there are industrial uses, gravel pits, the water treatment facility. I base this off of the Anticline disposal water treatment facility. It's using that water, it's using part of that plant to do this. And we permitted all of Anticline disposal with conditional use permits.
We did?
Yes.
Okay, that answers my question.
That is why I went that direction with it.
The other question, and I remember from touring the Anticline disposal facility, when they get through treating that water, my question was, why can't you just put it in a new Fork River? The answer to that was, it's too clean, which blows your mind. It's too clean to put in a river, that it's not in the best interest of the fish because it dilutes the nutrients and stuff in the water,
mm-hmm.
which you think if it was that clean, well, put it in a river, but
yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
And some of that can, I'm sure Mike can answer that also. There's a couple different levels of treatment that they do out of that plant. I do know that they just got the clean water facility up and running again. They had problems with the bugs and stuff in that facility. There has been quite a bit of this production water that has been going back out into the patch and being used. There's a fall in that. They're still bringing in more water than they're able to get rid of. And at least it's my understanding, Mike could probably answer this better, but without treating it quite that far to where they make clean water, it gets to a point where they can inject it back into the ground. And these are very deep wells also, so it's well below any of the potable water type of use. Or Mike could probably answer that question, but I think it's because of the treatment level of the water.
Okay.
So we actually are, as Dennis indicated, we are recycling right now to discharge to the New Fork. Which is under a permit with the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality out of Cheyenne. The facility has a capacity of doing roughly 11,000 barrels a day. And the conversations we've had with upstream operators here in the area, they've asked us to expand the operation to be able to do more and above and beyond with the discharge of the river. So we're looking at this as optionality is what I would call it, giving us that ability to do both frack operations, sending water back out to the upstream group to use for frack ops, recycle water, discharge, and then disposal as necessary.
No more questions for me?
I don't have any.
Nope.
I think there's multiple of these wells out there and they're all functioning under pretense, so.
Well, if there's no further questions, I'd consider a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the zone or the project as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Mm-hmm. If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Commissioners, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for coming by.
Mike, thank you.
You're welcome. I'll be around for something.
Okay. All right. Our second project takes us up to Bondurant, down to Bondurant. This is a proposal by Dale and Lisa Gray, and they are requesting a change in zoning district boundary of a parcel which is located within the Spirit Winds Estates subdivision. The current zoning on this property is RR10. And they are proposing to rezone this to an RR5. with the intent that in the future they would be able to split the property into two lots. As you recall, the Spirit Winds subdivision, when it was created, all of those nine lots within that subdivision are zoned RR10, which, give me a second, I'll turn that on. There we go. And through the review process on this, this was created through a major subdivision. This could then separate lot in there if the zoning met requirements and stuff could be split as a minor subdivision. Their proposal to go to RR5 would require a 60-foot easement into the property. And with all of the different studies that was done through the development of the subdivision, all the property for this rezone would meet all of the standards as set forth in Sublette County. Through our planning commission meeting, there was a lot of discussion on this, and the planning and zoning board recommended to deny this application 5-0. Which information that I passed on to you. I believe the Grays and their representative are here, and along with several neighbors of the area. And with that, I'd try to answer any questions I could. So.
And you say the Planning and Zoning Commission denied? Recommended to deny the application?
Yes, they did.
And what was that based on?
It was based on the public testimony that the RR5 and or splitting the lot and making an additional lot within that subdivision did not fit. Basically, it was the testimony and stuff by the neighboring property owners not wanting to see that property split again.
Okay. One of the things, Mr. Chairman, that in reading all the letters, almost everyone said the same thing, that when they purchased their property, it was they wanted their 10 acres and I don't want to say to be in the wilderness, but they didn't want to be in a city. And that was their opposition to having this subdivided to get it, having it be smaller. They bought their property with 10-acre lots, and they wanted it to stay that way. That was their opposition to breaking this down. And so my question is, do you know when the subdivision was formed?
This subdivision was formed spring of 2018. The other subdivisions?
Yes. I guess my question, the reason I'm asking this, is that was there anything put in the subdivision that said you could have the option to subdivide it into 5-acre lots? They're all 10-acre lots, but if you'd like to subdivide it, you can.
That I don't know. Most of those other subdivisions were created January of 91.
Okay, it was quite a while ago.
It was recorded, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of the surrounding areas of Bondurant and the smaller units were all created in the 1970s.
Okay, yeah, they're old subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the Spirit Winds Estate was created again the spring of 2018 is when it was finalized. There has been lot 9 is the only lot besides the existing residence that was on the property. Lot 9 has been the only lot that has been built on so far.
Okay.
With the creation of that subdivision, there are building envelopes also that were associated with that, because a lot of the bottom ground is within the floodplain. So these lower lots all have building envelopes on them. Lot 8 and Lot 9 are the only two that are, Lot 8 I guess does have some of the wetlands on it, but Lot 9 is a fully buildable lot. And there are no wetlands or anything on that piece of ground.
Okay.
And again, Mike Jackson with Rio Verde is representing the Grays on this one. So.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? If not, would the Grays like to make any comment?
Yeah, this is Mike with Rio Verde Engineering, and just represent Dale and Lisa. And, you know, we, just a little background, you know, when they first came to us looking at what it would take to do a rezone on that, generally speaking, you know, I go over the application process, and we go and meet with the zoning administrator to make sure that, you know, there's not any fatal flaws in what they're trying to do from a standards perspective. You know, Dennis originally recommended approving it based on the standards set forth, and you know, there is quite a bit of public opinion, you know, in opposition to that. And I think that the Grays respect that and understand that, but I guess moving forward is when does the public opinion outweigh the standards set forth for doing a zone change? I mean, there's reasons on both sides, you know, why it works, why it doesn't, but based on what Dennis put together in his initial analysis was to recommend approval, there's a lot of the neighbors in the area don't want to see it. I think the Grays respect that, but when the regulations are written and there's certain points that you have to hit or make note of to achieve a zone change, it seems like maybe the public comment period should happen before the application process, if that's the only thing that is decided upon.
Thanks, Mike. Would any of the public property owners like to make comment?
I'd like to.
If you could identify yourself for the clerk and the papers.
I'm sorry?
Could you identify yourself for the sake of the clerk?
Sure, my name is Rick Nomi, and I own one of the 10-acre lots. It's actually the Wells split, Lot 2. So we have an adjoining corner. I bought that in 1990 with the idea that, you know, we have some open space. We really didn't want, you know, this subdivision there in the first place. You know, we thought it was 35 acres. I remember going through a workshop that the county sponsored back in, you know, I think it was probably 92, 93. I'm not sure the exact date. They had everybody, you know, people are interested in this place. You need to decide on what you want. We went through about a 6-week workshop. We all spent time going through this workshop, and I'll try to be brief. But it turns out that we thought, you know, that they passed a 35-acre minimum. We all thought that was the case. Unfortunately, apparently we find out that it wasn't. It got dropped somehow or another. And I guess that's our fault for not staying on top of it. But they got this subdivision in here, and they got it in here as a 10-acre lots. You know, I don't see, when somebody buys it as a 10-acre lot, how they can turn around and want to split it a year later into 5 acres. What we're worried about is what it's going to do to the rest of this country. You know, we're going to have people wanting to do these splits in a little area that it's going to ruin that place. I mean, just all you got to do is take a look at what happened to Jackson. You know, no one wants to be there anymore. And my wife and I, you know, this is our home. And I think the rest of the property owners, that, you know, that's their home. That's where they come to get away from that kind of stuff, that craziness. You know, so we're going to just import that here again anyway. I won't belabor that point. But I would like, with permission, your permission, not everyone is here. Not all the landowners are not here. Some of them had doctor's appointments and other appointments. But if I may, I'd like to read a statement by one of the landowners.
Certainly. Would be right.
This is Dan Smitherman, and he is lot one of the wells. Yes, right there. So he's directly east of the graves. And this is what he has to say. I want to thank the commissioners for the opportunity to address the board regarding this issue. I understand that each of you has a copy of my original letter to the Planning Commission. I would like to point out that in this letter I addressed each of the issues to be considered in evaluating the application in accordance with the existing Sublette County planning regulations. I won't restate the contents of this letter, but would like to make a few salient points. The application was misleading and inaccurate. There is no housing shortage in Bondurant. One additional house doesn't impact the market. The other properties are zoned RR10, except for mine, which I was not aware was RR5. Until the plat for the proposed subdivision was submitted. And I will gladly have it rezoned RR10 to be consistent with the other adjoining properties. There are 13 properties in close proximity to this lot, and all but one are RR10. There is universal opposition to this application, and it was unanimously rejected by the Planning Commission. Allowing rezoning of this lot sets a dangerous precedent. What prevents potential other property owners from requesting the same, and the current residents ending up with a significant subdivision in our front yard? Mr. Gray has owned this property approximately 1 year. He knew when he bought it that it was zoned RR10. It wasn't an issue then, so why is it an issue now? In summary, Sharon and I and our neighbors chose to live in Bondurant. It's a hard place to live, and we value that. And we value our open space. We all bought here under the assumption that our lots were RR10, and the current subdivision was RR35. In the space of less than 2 years, what we were told was zone RR35 has been rezoned by the county to RR10. The county has approved a 10-acre lot subdivision in our front yards, despite our concerns over water, sewage, and wetlands. We don't have a defined easement since the original easement was encroached by county approval to build an arena. Now the county is contemplating allowing further division of the lots. When does it stop? Thank you, Dan and Sharon Smitherman. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public have any comment? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Steve Brewer. I don't know what lot number it is, but I had the first lot that was built on, and that lot was purchased in 1978. And at that time, I was told by Wells and Strobel that the rest of the ranch was going to stay as a horse ranch and would fall under the 35-acre minimum. So I've been under that assumption all along. So not to extend it too long, I don't know why the Spirit Wind subdivision, I was under the impression that was under 35-acre minimum all along. How it got approved to RR10, I don't know. But there has been some precedent set in that Bondurant Basin in that, like the Ameren Ranch, whether it's been self-imposed or whatever, all of those lots are RR35 or larger. And at the time those that was in effect, you could get special permits for some RR10s, but anything smaller than that had to be grandfathered. And that was in effect for a lot of years. That anything smaller than RR10 had to be an existing lot that was approved. So how the RR35 went away, I don't know. But apparently that's not the law anymore. But that's, you know, when I built my property, I was told the rest of the ranch was going to stay horse ranch. So that's why I was opposed to it, is I don't want to see a subdivision. You got 10 acre parcels, that's including the horse arena with the small lot that Scott was originally going to keep that for himself after he sold his house and his shops. He thought he would still keep the horse arena and build on the lot that's left. So you have the potential of doubling that if you set a precedent of allowing a 5 acre parcel. So that's why I was opposed to it.
Thank you, Mr. Perla. Anyone else?
Yes, sir. I'm Rick Grant. I live on the other side of the river from this whole thing. I agree with all these guys. I got nothing against you folks.
Sure.
Moving in.
We understand.
We moved down there in the 90s, about the old C-Bar H place, for that reason. Everybody else will say it. My concern is if you let this one lot split, what's to keep everybody else from down there splitting lots? If you got a 10-acre, I got two lots across from me that are 30s and 40s. What's to keep him from putting, he's going to go to you guys and say, hey, I want to make 5-acre lots. What's to keep him from doing that? You're going to open up a can of worms here, I think, in that basin.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name's Tom Clover. I am not a direct neighbor to these people. I live downstream. I live right across the road from Flurkey's. And the precedent that's being set here, I've seen before. I'm a lot of people ask me where I'm from. Well, I'm a refugee from Jackson Hole. I moved from Jackson Hole 25 years ago because I needed a place to raise my family. I have a postage stamp piece of dirt, 1.1 acre. However, I live directly in the river bottom. My well is in there. I also have a degree in water quality, so I check my water a couple times a year just to see what's going on kind of upstream. Luckily, I've been pretty well that way. But I would urge you gentlemen to think long and hard before you let the genie out of the bottle, because once it's out, the greed will take over and it's inevitable. Mankind can't control itself. So with that, I'll sit down.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
I'm Tammy Campbell. I'm a native of Sublette County. I moved to Bondurant in 1977. It is a very special place. And talking about water, the water in Bondurant is very different. You can't pick out a piece of ground, drill a well on it, and expect to get water. Because I personally know of places in the area where you can drill and not get any water. We have very shallow wells, and nobody knows exactly how the water runs, you know, in a lot of that country. And it's kind of our concern if there's a lot of wells drilled below us, you know, is that going to deplete our water supply when there's so many others down below that's taking water as well? So that's one thing to think about. The subject of affordable housing comes up. Just because you have density doesn't make it affordable. Price point is what makes something affordable. To me, these 10-acre lots offered at this point in time, in my opinion, is not affordable, you know, and you can split them up all you want. It depends on what price tags on them to make them affordable. Unfortunately, Bonneran is too close to Teton County and Jackson, and Jackson has run out of any place for housing, and now it's starting to spill our direction, and Sublette County needs to be very aware of that, because we don't want to end up like another Teton County. And so it has to have some control somewhere, and it needs to start here, and it needs to start now, or else we're going to end up with a lot of problems, just like the neighboring county that nobody wants to claim anymore. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Campbell.
Are you ready, Mr. Chairman?
Is there any other public comment?
Just me.
Okay.
My name's Annie Grant, and it's my dad. And, oh God, I'm sorry, it's allergy season. My only comment is that my brother and I both grew up in Bonneran, and we are both very concerned about where and who is going to live there when we're everybody else's age. And we would just like you guys to take that into consideration.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
So my name's Dale Gray, and this is my wife, Lisa. And just kind of for the record, we're sensitive to what these people are feeling. A fifth generation guy from a small town in western Colorado. Grew up there in the 60s and 70s, a town of about 200 people. Reality of it is now we got an I-70 runs through it, and we're 10, 15,000 folks. So I can relate to what they're saying. When we bought the property, we didn't know that it was 10 acres. We had no idea of the parameters and how they felt about Scott and the subdivision. You know, we're not from the area, so we didn't have a feeling for it. But with that being said, you know, we did approach Mike, we did approach Dennis, and we wouldn't have went further into the process if we didn't think we would have a shot. One of the main reasons that we was wanting to split it is my daughter is a nurse in Jackson, and she lives here in Pinedale, and she's actually moved in with us here for a little bit, and she's commuting back and forth, so it was our hopes to get it split and be able to build her a home on it. The neighbors were sensitive to that and said, well, yeah, just build your daughter a home there. Reality of that is that's not how it works. Through financing, bank loans, construction loans, you have to own property in order to make all that happen. You know, what I'd like to tell neighbors is I'm sensitive to it. When I say I'm five generations, I go back in western Colorado, my great grandma's place is still standing right down the road from where I grew up. I've been coming in out of Wyoming since the 80s and finally had the opportunity to call it home. And it's not my desire to make enemies or to make these people's life miserable. I commuted most of my life 70 miles one way to Aspen, Colorado to work. I still have to build. I'm a homeowner or a home builder, and so I wanted to go to Dubois. That's where I hunted all these years and kicked around, but unfortunately, I still got to work, so I thought, well, that would work for me commuting to Jackson. And when I grew up there in Newcastle, we didn't really care for Aspen either. It's the same as what Jackson is, but it provided us a living. And I think all these folks here have found that Jackson has provided them a living. So and the reality of it is we want to, you know, if I could afford to live in Jackson, I wouldn't. And that's not who I am, but just to keep bashing Jackson and the people that moved to the area to work to Jackson, I don't, you know, as a fellow citizen and neighbor, I don't think that's really fair, just to keep hammering. You know, I don't know, these guys might correct me. Maybe they don't work in Jackson. Maybe they don't make their living in Jackson. But through the comment process, what I found, some of them are legit concerns, and others were just, we don't want you guys here. We don't want your smoke from your wood stove. We don't want your kids overcrowding our schools. we, God forbid, if something happens to you, we don't want our emergency services to have to come. So through this process, I felt kind of like we got beat up on. Even though they don't want it to be personal, it kind of has become, and for that I apologize. But I quit school when I was 16. We've been together 40 years, and we want to call Wyoming home, and we call Wandering home. I had no idea we was opening up this can of worms and public outcry. And I'm gonna finish on this. We all want to be rugged individuals. I moved to Wyoming because Colorado went a different direction than what I want to be. But what I find kind of unique is these folks are kind of coming down on us, talking about how they want to keep Wyoming the same. And I don't want to drag Scott Leeper into this, but what he reminded me of is that, hey, look, you know, this 100 acres I've paid for by the sweat of my brow. And so even though they've gotten to enjoy that, my 100 acres, the fact is, you know, he's built it and worked it with his own two hands. But it just seems like there's a lot of animosity there with the original subdivision. Of course, me being a newcomer, I have no idea who's who and how it all works. So it just seems like we kind of moved into a hornet's nest, and we don't want to keep the hornet's nest being stirred, so we'll totally respect the neighbors, and we would totally respect the decisions you guys make. I just wanted to kind of have a little bit of background who we are and what we're about, and I'll end at that.
Thank you, Mr. Gray.
You're welcome.
Okay, now, I'd entertain a motion with respect to this application.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the input from Mr. Gray. Based on the position of the Planning and Zoning Board and the numerous comments in opposition, I move we deny the request for a zone change.
Second. Mr. Mifflin. I have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion?
I would just like to let you know that you're not the first one that has been denied. You're not the first one to come into a subdivision, and this is not personal or anything like that. It's just, I'm new at this myself, and you talk about Teton County and everything. We are trying to control, I believe, not the growth, but to keep the wide open spaces in Sublette County. And I don't want you to feel like you've been ambushed, because you haven't been. But that's all I have to say.
Any other discussion?
I'd like to make one comment. The commission has entities as the planning and zoning to help make these decisions, and these are tough decisions. But when the Zoning Commission says 5-0, and they've done the legwork, so to speak, I feel almost duty-bound to follow what they have recommended. And it's not an easy choice sitting up here, believe me. I've run into a lot of them since I've been here. And to deny one in favor of others is a tough, tough deal. But the fact remains that the Zoning Commission that was put together by the commission here has recommended 5-0 to deny, and I feel compelled to go along with that.
And I concur with what's been said. I would also like to, you know, just add to what Commissioner Vickery said. We do have a Planning and Zoning Commission for that purpose. It would be in the same, the shoe would be on the other foot if Planning and Zoning came to us with the recommendation of 5-0 to approve something, and then we as a commission turn around and disapproved it. So in that light, both with the testimony that's been given and with the recommendation, unanimous recommendation for disapproval for Planning and Zoning, I'm in favor of this motion. Any other comment?
I appreciate what Max said to the Grays. I don't want you guys to take this as an ambush. Or you're definitely welcome in this community, in this county. It's just the precedent that I think it would set at this point.
We respect him.
So.
And appreciate him.
And I appreciate your civility on everybody's part. Thank you. If there's not any other comments, I'll call the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for your input and time and for your presence.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
You did like everybody else. You kept us a lot longer. Mm-hmm. We were so good.
Yeah, we were doing good. Yeah, you screwed us all up.
We're still on our 11:45 agenda.
Yeah.
I tried to give you a heads up. This was
going to be a good one. I knew it.
He was going along good until I brought Smitham and I was about to go on his
But I kept it together.
Okay. Well,
all right.
I appreciate it.
I don't think
so. Are you have anything else, Dennis?
You bet.
Nope. We are good. Okay. That's all I have for you today. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You bet. Thank you.
Brianne, I guess we'll ask you to come forward and catch us up.
It's fun.
Good. Excuse me, you guys, if you could carry your conversation on outside, I'd appreciate it.
I just want to.
Where's the gavel?
I'm gonna get it out. I'll get it out.
Here, let me see if I can.
That's what about there.
So how many of you been to the Salt Lake Airport?
What?
Been to Salt Lake Airport?
Yeah.
Seen the pictures, you know, along the wall, people kind of look at when they're there the whole time. So that's kind of where this vision came from. And there was a like-minded person who had a similar vision about bringing art into the arena. And we have an anonymous donor of $5,000 to kind of get the party started, per se. And it'll take up the thing I sent you. It's what we have. I do have a call, a call sheet for when we do, if we get the blessing of the commissioners to go forward with this. It does have specifications, but it'll basically 22 by 3 foot tin prints will take up pretty much the whole north side of the inside of the arena where people sit and eat, and I just wanted to make it pretty. So
this is
where the building, yeah, that's used.
Not the event center.
Not yet.
Okay.
But maybe someday. But no, yeah. And so that's just pretty much all it is, just approval. As far as the fairgrounds cost goes, the hanging will come from Jay's budget, and it's just going to be a simple cable system. So that, if that's a question that you had, but what questions do you have for me?
Where's the art come from?
The art will come from, so our requirements, so it's called Where We Live and What We Love. So, you know, huge variety of things. And this was just kind of an example. I mean, anything from landscapes, horses, ranching, trees, images of plants, whatever. Of course, we're looking for an artistic view, but the art, we're going to put it out to a 5-county area. So we're thinking Sublette and surrounding counties. So Sublette, Lincoln, Sweetwater, Teton, Fremont. And as far as getting the word out, we were just going to start posting on Facebook on certain sites where we know people post a lot of images, as long as we have, you know, the permission of the administrators to do that. So basically anyone in Sublette County, you don't have to be a photographer to enter in but the artists aren't getting paid. It's more of a community buy-in situation right now, because I feel like if we can get the community buy-in with the donor and artists or people giving their work, and this is just so they're giving their work, but only as a one-time print. Like we don't have, the rights to it. We just have the right to print it that one time and hang it in the Ag Center for however long we decide. I mean, there's also some other talks of going on in the back of the bleachers, and I'm going to talk to the museum and see if we can get some kind of casing that we can do kind of a rotating picture exhibit in another part of the barn. So
that was going to be another question in terms of having more donors than space, and how would you, are you going to have something set up so you do have a time frame, rotational basis, whatever.
And as of right now,
if it's successful,
for sure.
Can, yeah.
I mean, three, they're going to last for a long time.
Yeah.
On the tin, printed on tin like that, and they're going to be easy to take care of. And it'll just, it's just appealing. I mean, I'm not aware of many arenas who have gone this direction, so I feel like it's kind of a cool thing, and some I can take back to the associations that I'm in if it is something that works out, as far as that goes. But with the community buy-in, it'll also give us a chance to apply for grants down the road, and that's kind of why it's all taking place like this, is so we can get grants, so we can pay artists, so, you know, and it's not just going to be limited to photography. We're hoping to build a broader metal sculpture. I mean, just whatever, you know, just something.
And different. This was your brainchild?
Not by myself. The anonymous donor kind of was having similar thoughts, just then we blended and came up with this.
Sounds really intriguing.
So yeah, and we'll have, we're hoping if it all goes through, to have the gallery opening during fair. So yeah, Beats little art gallery in there.
Yeah.
So this sounds kind of fascinating to me.
It does, but
yeah, it does. The one question, Brianna, that I have is the Ag Board on? Are they on board with this?
They're next. I'll talk to them next. But you're right. No, I'll definitely visit with them. I should have done that first. We've kind of gone backwards. We made the whole thing kind of first, just so you guys could see it in place. And if, hey, we may have wasted our time, but it's just something. I'm on the Fine Arts Council board as well, so art means something to me, but I'll talk.
No,
we'll talk to the Ag Board too, for
I'm
sure.
Going, oh heck, I'll come down and see what you got.
And it's to everybody's advantage to get community buy-in.
Well, and that's the thing. It's, I mean, yeah, just more inclusive. I mean, not everybody goes to the Ag Center, but if their art's hanging in the Ag Center, you know, it's just, and as far as what we're going to do with those after,
that's what we have here. Everybody comes into this commissioner's meeting room. Look at here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just something fun.
Okay. Any other comments?
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I have one.
You have one?
Don't take it wrong, but I know the donor wants to stay anonymous, but the donor wouldn't be the Fine Arts Council, would it?
Nope.
Okay. Done.
Well, how's she going to answer that if the donor wants to remain anonymous?
She just did.
No, it's not. It's an individual donor.
Okay. I'm on board. I think it's wonderful.
And I think that's all you need is just a verbal approval.
Right. That's all I was thinking.
Good idea. Good luck. And I look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our hallways need some payments, too.
Right?
We are paying for it if it wasn't. If it wasn't, it's good. We are paying.
I know.
Yeah.
Are we going to change that to the Suffolk County?
I'm going to have to look here and see where we are, because we have monthly reports, old business, and then, Carrie, we still have you down. So which would you rather go with first, our 11:45?
I think so.
Okay. Robert, we're still working on our agenda from before lunch. We were that much behind. So I need a motion to approve our accounts payable as audited by the commissioners and the clerk.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. I need a motion to approve the audited payroll in the amount of $981,320.03.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Carrie, that was moved by Commissioner Vickery to accept the payroll, seconded by Commissioner Bousman.
Okay.
If there's not any discussion, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Who did the motions on accounts payable? I'm sorry.
The payable was Joel. You made that. No,
no, no, I did.
Back
did.
I seconded.
You seconded.
You were doodling right there.
I did a long time.
So. Oh my goodness. so we don't have Janetis on here. We need. Is Emily going
to
be here?
No, you have the bond approvals right there. You just need to look at them and sign them. They
go back and find 11:45
yes.
Right here. We'll get out of sync. There's five of them, I guess?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion for approval of the following bonds. Peggy Winters with the mosquito abatement district number one. Gary Neely with the Sublette County Museum Board. Michael Henn with the Sublette County Fair Board. And this is Michael Henn as Secretary Treasurer. Is that all part of the, it's not stapled together. Oh, I guess it is. It's Michael Henn for the Sublette County Fair Board. And then the last one would be for William W. Kramer for Highland Irrigation District. Those four, if I could have a motion to accept the bonds for these people.
So moved.
It's been moved.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Vickery. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And now we'll begin the signing process. I'll let you start down there, pass them back this way.
Just sign this on the front page somewhere.
Yeah, gotcha.
Kramer is on two of them.
Yeah,
two irrigation districts.
Since I only mentioned those four, now I need a motion to accept William W. Kramer on the Fayette Irrigation District.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. And the problem was there was two bonds for William Kramer that was overlooked. One was the Highland Irrigation District, which we got in the first motion. And the second one was for Mr. Kramer on the Fayette Irrigation District. Just point of clarification. Make sure we got our I's dotted and our T's crossed. So, still under that 11:45 agenda item, we have monthly reports and old business. Carrie, I'll start with you. Do you have anything from the clerk's office?
No.
Okay.
monthly reports. Commissioner Rawhauser?
Nothing more than the deer fence, and that program is still moving forward. And I'm meeting tomorrow morning with Mike Schmidt, and I'm under the impression that there was $1.5 million allocated by the Game and Fish for the first one or two underpasses. So it's moving forward, and I will come back to you guys with a discussion after talking with him what maybe the county could be involved in, but not at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Commissioner Bell.
First, approval for the letter I drafted to the Forest Service, comment letter in support of the cheatgrass spraying on the forest, the EA. All the local entities are doing this, and I offered to draft one for the county, so that's what it is. Were there any, everybody get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it.
No, I didn't have any problem with it either. It was good.
So I'll give it, if it's approved, I'll give it to Carrie to put on letterhead and get out. Attended Forest Collaborative meeting last week, talked about, and I'd sent an email out to everybody about the breakdown of the Joint Chiefs project funding. We've yet to figure out just what projects of those Joint Chiefs money have collaborative support or what the priority is. There was some discussion about the need for the collaborative to have a professional facilitator. I've talked to Mike a little bit about it. I've talked to the Forest Soup, to Trish O'Connor. And the Forest Service, if the collaborative wants to do that, the Forest Service has offered to put up to $4,000 in the pot to help pay for facilitation. If they want to go that way, my intent would be to talk to the governor's office position that's in charge of FINERPA money to try and get some additional FINERPA funding to help pay for that. That's how we paid for the facilitator to get the process started in the first place. So stay tuned there. I don't, if it's going to involve any county money, I don't know yet how much. I don't know how long we may be contracting with somebody if we do. So that's kind of ongoing. In terms of good neighbor authority projects for the county, I brought that up. There was support from the collaborative for doing something. What we're going to do now is the fuels subgroup of the collaborative will be meeting in the near future. I'll attend that meeting, and their agenda for that meeting is to come up with a sensible, doable project for the county that we could use good neighbor authority to achieve it on the ground. Once we get a project recommended and the collaborative supports it and we accept it as a board, then I would sit down with the governor's office and state forestry and figure out what is the best way to get it done. Do we use good neighbor authority as a county alone? Do we combine with the state, with state forestry, and you know, have them do part of the project and do it together? We don't know that yet till we have that discussion, until we know what the project is. But when we get to that point, I will be recommending to this board to put some money into the budget for a project. I don't know yet how much, but I'm hoping to get this done before we have to adopt the budget. And if not, put something in there that could be used for that, up to so much. So, other piece of really good news, got an email last night from Caleb, and the Interior Board of Land Appeals upheld Sublette County and the BLMZA on giving the field manager TNR authority, temporary non-renewable AUM. So in the future, if we have a late year and we need to adjust the season of use, the field manager will have the authority to do that. That is really critical because we've been pointing to that as probably the first, an example, maybe the first example in the West where a county has actually done an EA for BLM. We did the whole thing. We had FINERPA money to pay for it. The Conservation District worked with ERG. They worked together with BLM, and we did an environmental analysis in about 2 weeks. And we've proven that local government can do a NEPA process far more efficient and sooner than the BLM can. BLM was very supportive of it, but it got appealed, and that was like 2 years now that's been held up before IBLA. But they ruled like yesterday and said we'd come down on the side of the county. So I don't think that'll be appealed any further. They'd have to take us to court, and I don't think that's going to happen.
And that was a process we went through 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the Western Watersheds.
Yes, Western Watersheds appealed it.
Yeah, that's a Marvel Comics guy. So if you're buying their comic books, don't.
Yeah. let's see. Only other thing, the Forest Service, I was invited to be on a panel today in Jackson. The chief, Vicki Christensen, is there. And there's a panel they put together to talk about forest collaboratives and how they can function, why they're a benefit to a community. And I asked Mike Hinn to be there. He's serving on that panel for me, and looking forward to his report on that. But the chief is there. The entire Region 4, all the regional people, every district ranger in Region 4 is there today at that meeting. So they're going to get some instruction and direction on how to work with local governments is what I hope to happen. Mr. Chairman, that's all I've got.
Okay, and you do think you'll have some idea by budget time in terms of
we'll put a limit on it. Yeah, okay. One or the other.
Okay. Joel, could I ask a question? Do you have an idea of the project? Are you thinking Upper Green somewhere?
Well, there's pros and cons. My first thought was a timber project on the Upper Green. And the reason for that is because there's some saleable timber, and there's really an opportunity there for the receipts to exceed the cost of administration, and the county would get to keep that extra money. The other thing, the Forest Service is looking at doing some of that anyway, and I keep pointing out we don't want to use good neighbor authority to do something the Forest Service can do on their own. We want to get something done above and beyond. So another example, and it would probably reflect a larger benefit to the public, would be something like the wildfire urban interface, doing more work around these subdivisions to reduce the risk of wildfire. And that kind of a project would benefit all the citizens that live in these forested areas. I don't know yet. There may be some other small project that the fields group looks at and says, you know, this is doable. So those are a couple ideas I've had, but I can't say what they're going to come up with. Don't know.
Okay. Commissioner Noble?
Attended the zoning meetings the last couple. Answer those. The probably more time-consuming one has been broadband. Sat through with All West. They've verbally committed to signing contract agreements with CTC on our behalf to be the provider for the next meeting. Pat and I have been working diligently on the broadband or joint powers group. It's been very time-consuming on Matt's behalf.
Somebody took vacation?
Yeah. He was going to lose his mind if I showed up again there. So we're hoping to present those two documents to you at the next meeting and have the discussion on the Joint Powers Board here at the next meeting, tentatively. I have Russ Elliott for the State Broadband Coordinator going to be here. All West will be here. Elena has a prior engagement. She is going to have someone speak on her behalf. Another regional representative is going to show up. So,
no. You said those two contracts, you were talking about
the provider contract.
Provider contract.
And the Joint Powers.
The Joint Powers. Okay.
That's my goal at this time.
Okay.
Are those to be signed? In other words, are you going to ask us to sign those?
CTC and well, yeah, I would believe those will both take a signature. And I will get those distributed prior to the meeting. Because we have to accept the provider for the
so if we have some questions,
yes.
That would be the time to ask those
That's
questions.
My goal. Everybody will be in the room for you guys to ask those questions that you have concerns about. CTC will be on the phone. Like I said, the other ones will all be here. Elaine is the only one that couldn't make it, but she's filling in for someone else. Jack with the All West will be here. Yeah, that's my goal. Just give you guys all the options to ask the questions or discuss the concern that you have, and the outcome will be decided after that.
And in terms of time allotment, what are you suggesting that we're going to need? Because we haven't had adequate discussion, and I'm sure there will be a lot. So what do you...
I would imagine an hour.
Okay. And, Carrie, with respect to that, if we're going to have this contingency coming in that much ground to cover, I think we probably ought to arrange our agenda. We'll talk about it upcoming, but I think we ought to put that. We've got people traveling, so is that going to be a morning discussion?
10 o'clock is what they've all agreed
okay.
to.
Okay, so we'll set aside 10 to 11 in making up next meeting's agenda.
Okay.
For this group, because they're traveling, we've got advanced planning, we'll put them on for 10, and then
okay.
we'll do the agenda request around that, and of course, we'll start out as usual with Road and Bridge and okay. some of those reports.
And you'll make sure I get the handouts to put out in the packets?
You bet.
Okay.
You bet. They'll either come directly from CTC or I.
And okay. if there's any contract or stuff, we'll get a chance to review that.
Yes. That's my intentions. I know Matt's trying really hard to make the final corrections or alterations, I should say,
yeah,
to the
yeah.
Joint Powers Board document.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, I want to update the commission on the response from the Wyoming Attorney General's office on the
Thank
statutory
you.
Authority.
Yes.
So they did ultimately agree that the county does have statutory authority to enter into the Joint Powers Agreement. So clear that hurdle. Many hurdles left to go, obviously, but so. It's a pre-review, so you know, until the Attorney General's signature is on the Joint Powers Agreement, it's not fully binding and valid. But they have agreed that the county can move forward, and so the hope is to have that Joint Powers Agreement all ready to go for the May 22nd meeting. The contract with All West, I think that will probably be the trickier of the two documents, just because they're still negotiating. I haven't seen a copy yet. Hopefully, I can see that soon. But I do feel fairly confident that the Joint Powers Agreement can be executed on the 22nd.
Okay, now, with regards to that and with regards to this discussion, I haven't looked at that Joint Powers Agreement in a week or two.
Lucky you.
Yeah, yeah, lucky me. Correct me if my memory is fading me, but if I recall, at the end of that agreement, there were blanks left there for contributions by the consortium. Is that going to be in the agreement for approval?
Yes, and the reason behind that is we wanted something documented. If the commission moves forward, if the towns move forward, the documents, the initial contribution by each governmental entity, just so that's there, that's on record, and we felt that was very important for that to be in the document.
Okay.
If you gentlemen feel differently, we can delete that section, but when I sat down with Commissioner Noble and Representative Summers, we all felt like, boy, we want those, if those numbers do come to fruition, we want those on a piece of paper so that it's very clear what each contribution.
Some of the reason behind that is in the joint powers document, it says that if for whatever it doesn't make it past the sunset or the cutoff dates to where it is dispersed back out, those numbers are in there documented so we know what is to be dispersed back out, not a guess.
I understand, but the reason I'm asking, Matt, is the commission to gather collectively has never discussed that joint powers agreement. I ask about the dollar amount being included in there, but I imagine at the appropriate time when we have this on the agenda to discuss, there will be questions regarding any contingencies or issues or concerns we have with putting money into a joint powers board. So that's not a heads up per se. I'm just saying we haven't discussed that, and I anticipate that to be part of our discussion when we have it on the agenda.
And as it should be. And so I get the commission's concern with putting a piece of, with putting a dollar figure on a piece of paper. But again, when Commissioner Noble and I met, we really felt like to have that historical record so that if this thing does sunset, like Commissioner Noble said, we know exactly who put in what and what needs to be distributed back to each government
right.
entity.
Right, percentage-wise. I understand that. I understand the commission hadn't discussed that at all. It would be one that will come up for discussion when we have this topic on our agenda.
Fair enough. Maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah, 11, 11 to 12.
Let's just make it 10 to 12. So
10 to 12.
Lines, right?
Yeah.
How about more cookies?
Yeah. But there's no place for, or is there? We have no idea what money's coming in from grants.
Well, we don't, but that's not part of the joint powers agreement. The joint powers, the question of grants and other monies has to do with the contract with the vendor and so on, and it'll come up later. But as far as the joint powers agreement, there's not a clause in there that relates to grants at all. So this discussion is all going to be had in a couple of weeks.
So the provider contract and the joint powers board document will be significant in helping move forward with the grants. That's a huge hurdle there, is to name those two out in the grants. And something else I forgot to mention was Doc asked me to check up on CTC and their billing.
Yeah.
And they're roughly halfway through on the second set. And they don't have any concerns at all. It's going well. Because they're kind of at a standstill until the joint powers document, the provider is chosen. And also broadband, people haven't even turned out their grant application. They turned out the preliminary one, which we've filled out and sent in. But they don't have the actual application ready. And Elena Zimple is moving forward with CTC on the other two. And as far as Joel's comment for reconnect and all that, Russ is diligently trying to help the county and CTC follow through on those also.
And I think
we've been following those for some time.
The point to answer part of your question, or not to answer, but in regard to your question, which is why I was making those comments to Matt. As I expect, I don't know, but as I expect, there will be contingencies on the part of the vendor in terms of making this contract. I expect, although I don't know, I'm just saying I expect there may be contingencies on the part of the commission in terms of the joint powers agreement.
Contingencies in terms of
the dollar amount, how it's to be used, how much can be spent.
So
that regard,
that's all spelled out in the joint powers document as best we possibly can.
That I understand. You and I have probably looked at the joint powers agreement.
We're probably the first two. He's the winner.
Yeah. Well, but what I'm saying is, this is going to be homework for the commission to do in terms of going back and reviewing that document. Because I think it's probably safe to say that in that lengthy a document at this point, there may be concerns. We've never had a chance to discuss those publicly. That's the eight ball we're behind.
That's what I'm meaning. Contingencies may not be the right word. Questions, amendments, adjustments, whatever, maybe. And that's, I don't know how else to best to put it. I'm trying to.
How about concerns?
I said that, contingencies, concerns, yes.
And I get that perspective, but I guess the point of the Joint Powers Board is to, this agreement provides a rough framework. So really, the Joint Powers Board is the one that will be tasked with doing that heavy lifting. And so we can game plan for some contingencies and some situations, but I can't do it all in this agreement. And it really will fall on the shoulders of the Joint Powers Board to make a lot of those tough decisions down the road.
Yeah, and it's unfair unfair from the standpoint of this is not on our agenda for discussion now. It comes up in open business, or we could probably pursue this conversation a little bit further. So I think we're just going to have to wait till that meeting when it's on the agenda to express the concerns, because we didn't advertise it, the public's not here, whatever. So,
one question for Commissioner Miller. If we can't come to an agreement on the Joint Powers Agreement and the provider contract on the 22nd, does that, I guess, where does that put us in terms of the grant application process? Is that a fatal?
So at this point, the grant applications that for Elena were supposed to be due May 1st, we've missed this hurdle. They're now moving to the next quarter, which is September, I believe. And according to Elena, that's probably a wise choice, simply due to the timelines we've been struggling to meet. And as Matt knows, we tried to push this Joint Powers document 3 weeks ago, and the harder I pushed, the worse it got. So we just decided to back off and let things happen naturally.
And that's my point. We want to do that. We want to make sure we're not in a rush to make decisions, and we got to have that conversation.
And obviously, this is too big a deal.
It's
a rush.
Yeah.
On a separate note, the towns have all agreed to the Joint Powers document, even though it has been amended since then. So they're going to have to re-agree.
See, that's what I mean. We don't want to rush. That's my point.
There's multiple reasons for that.
I just have so many questions. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Joel.
A question for Matt. So, and I did review that some, but the Joint Powers Agreement, does it have to be actually the checks written and funded before we qualify for any grants, or just a commitment to fund with the, based on the contingency that we're going to get these grants? In other words, we have to put the money in up front, and then if we don't get the grants, we disperse it back out, or we agree to fund it to so much contingent upon grant approval and everything coming into place.
I can take a crack at it, but
take yours and then I'll add to it.
I think my understanding is the further we are along in the Joint Powers Agreement process and executing it and coming to a dollar amount, the better it looks for the grant reviewers. They want to see as much finality and certainty as possible before they award the grants. Now, if we don't have those dollar amounts in there, will it kill it? No, but does it make the grant application look less attractive? Probably. Is that a fair statement?
I would say yes, for the basis that it leads another governmental entity that could say no. For example, the grants are all approved, and then the commission doesn't allow the money to move forward or something on a technicality or whatever. So it gives that presence that there's too many government entities to answer to.
I understand, but I guess the concern is that Commissioner Bowser is raising it, putting the shoe on the other foot.
So,
and that is, supposing we commit the money, we don't get the grants, what happens to our money?
And in that Joint Powers document, there's a sunset and another date that if it's not met by a certain timeline with the grants, then the money all goes back proportionally to the people that contributed. And the sunset also creates that deadline.
Well,
there's two deadlines in there that the Joint Powers Board has to meet or it dissolves.
Boy, I didn't want to go down this road today.
The reason I bring it up, Mr. Chairman, is if we want Matt to put some any additional language in there reflecting
This is why we need to have a conversation.
Yes.
We'll probably have it again. But with regards to what you just said in terms of the safeguard, and I understand why there's not a scope of work outlined in the grant because we don't know the scope of work. But in terms of protecting our money, if our intentions are to have a project that is inclusive of certain areas, and the grant monies don't allow for that, so we scale back the project, therefore the grant monies are cut back, what does that do to the total project, and what assurances do we have? I understand the sunset clause, which, by the way, was very, very good. I appreciate that protection. So I feel better having this discussion when we advertise it on the agenda and we have the other parties present. But you can see kind of a glimpse of where we are, because obviously we've not had any joint discussion on this. And that's.
So let me ask this, Mr. Chairman. Is there anything I can do for the other commissioners to help move this forward as far as a better topic on the day of the 22nd? Does anybody would anybody like me to sit down with them or call them and answer specific questions?
I don't need to drag this out, but one question, and it came up today, and today was moving the tower from Enterprise to our own tower, an additional $500,000. In this project, and we've been working with this diligently through Shad and through Casey and Dave, who's going to pay the cost overruns in this? I asked the question today, what happens if we're burying cable and all of a sudden we hit some archaeological thing where all of a sudden everything stops instantly? When it stops instantly, it costs money. Who's going to pay that? Because it's not going to be Marlton, it's not going to be Big Piney, and it's not going to be Pinedale. It's going to be us.
I would like to say no. They would have to come. I don't have that answer. Let me try to answer it the best I can. There will be an engineered design and plan laid out prior to the money being spent, and the engineering encompasses the ARC studies, the PALO studies. All this has to meet any standard project before there is any build out.
Oh, I understand.
So
that
all those hurdles will be addressed prior to the actual build.
Oh, I understand. But when it doesn't come in under that amount of money, and our $4 million is spent, and the Pinedale's million is spent, and the Big Piney's million is spent, and we're right out here on the other side of Sand Draw, and everything is stopped, we can't quit because we're into it that far. Who's going to flip the bill? It's going to be us, because we're the only one that has any money. Because the towns, they're only giving us what they can. That's my question. And I'm struggling with this right now.
Excuse me, I think this conversation really needs to include the folks that are supposed to be here 2 weeks from now.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of those questions, and you're right, Mac, they need to be answered. And we can sit here and talk all we want, and we can assume this and assume that, but that ain't going to be.
Do you think they'll be able to answer that question
I
just
asked?
Well, I
hope they should if they can.
I'm bringing them all together.
I understand, but do you think they can answer that question?
I don't have that answer.
Well, I don't think they
That's
can.
That's another assumption.
But well, I don't think they can.
I think it's time to call a halt to that.
Sure.
Suffice it to say we have concerns, and we will put it on the agenda, and maybe we ought to put 2 hours down.
I was just going to ask you that. what time
do you think I can handle 2 hours of it?
Two hours?
Hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours. Okay.
Because it went very quickly today.
We finished early.
Yeah, because
we're going to lunch.
Will this meeting 2 weeks from now be one where I can ask the questions also?
Yes, that's the intention.
Don't you always ask
questions? Yeah.
I do, but sometimes I get looked at like I should.
Oh, well.
No, and that's part of the concern is there will be many questions to be asked.
Well, there needs to be. Absolutely, it needs to be.
Anyway.
And I'm fine with that. That's why I've assembled the whole group.
Yeah, and you partially answered a concern because I know you've both worked hard on this, particularly Matt, and if for some reason there's an entanglement with the Joint Powers Board, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is not going to be amended, adjusted, and moved on to the next meeting. This will be a process. We're not under a deadline. And, well, I don't like working under a deadline just because of the pressure with not being able to do the right thing in the right manner.
If the county commissioners commit to this project, I want you to be as comfortable as humanly possible.
Right.
So that is our intent, and I don't want it to be rushed or any sort of external pressure. I want, again, if this happens, I want it to be unanimous as best as possible and your comfort level to be up here.
Right.
So on that note, Matt, I know the towns are all dying to approve this amended joint powers document. At this point, I'd say you and I hold this until after this meeting.
I would say so.
There's no sense going because
I think Marbleton's passed it three different times at this point.
Yeah, so. And that's just overzealous.
Well, we don't want to do that because once we pass it, it's done.
It's done. Yes. And they're waiting on our lead. So let's.
One last question. Matt, one last question. Would it be feasible to put language in a joint powers agreement that to the effect that any future contributions to the joint powers fund would be in the same proportions as originally put in?
Yeah, I don't see why that sort of condition couldn't be put in the agreement.
Well, that would help answer a question if there were cost overruns.
Yes.
So let me add to that just a tiny bit. First thing that comes to my mind is say the town chooses to, or the joint powers group chooses to go after another grant, which is a further build out of one of the towns. That would only make sense that the town contributes to that joint powers board more than the others, possibly. So I hate to spell that out. You see my concern with that? Is that, for example, one of the towns could say, oh, we want to match this grant for the joint powers board. They could contribute solely for that, possibly. I would hate to spell that out and bind everybody to the same commitment all the time.
But wouldn't that have to be something that was decided by the joint powers board?
After the joint powers board is established, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
This gets more complicated.
Yeah.
Can we make it all morning?
You already have.
I'll call in lunch.
And I think that may be valid idea. Why don't we get some of the same lunches that the jailer? I mean,
do you want me to have lunch delivered here?
Why don't we get the?
How are we going to eat in front of everybody else?
Easy. If you're Mac and I, you just sit down and eat.
Lunch would take 15 minutes instead of an hour.
Let's talk about it. Okay, but we will put it down for 2 hours. And we'll see what other agenda requests we got and see what we can model that into.
Sorry to add to my old business, as I will be driving to Cody tomorrow for the Wyoming County Commissioner Association spring meeting.
Did you get my email?
Yes, I did, agenda. And I will address those things the best I can.
Good luck.
Done?
I'm done.
Okay, Commissioner Vickery.
Well, I don't have very much compared to everybody else, but
doesn't matter.
Since my appointment, I did have a really nice conversation with Suki Bowl, and we have set up a guideline of what we expect of each other, and so that's sort of where I'm at.
Fantastic. Good.
So, and I look forward to it, quite frankly. I think it'll be quite an experience for both of us.
Good deal. Okay. And then maybe we can get together with maintenance and go down and visit in Cranny. I'll be glad to go with you, and we'll see what the concerns are.
Put something together.
Yeah. Okay. The only thing I have to report is I had two meetings last week, one with myself and the elected officials as a preliminary to the budget request being turned in, and then I had a second meeting with Commissioner Bilesman and the department heads last Tuesday, to discuss budget requests prior to them being submitted. And I think it was a good experience for myself speaking, I think, for Commissioner Bousman, and I know for the elected officials and department heads, it was a good deal beginning to work together towards this budget. So I think that was time well spent. And that's all I have. Now, we still have something on the agenda.
We still have Carrie.
Yes, we do. I'm about to forget it because this meeting was supposed to be over. Anyway, Carrie, we're going to start. We got appointments to the Ag Board. Is that?
Yes. We noticed this vacancy in December, but she didn't realize she was going off the board. She thought it was a 4-year term. It's a 3-year term, I think. So anyway, she didn't put in her letter. So this has already been noticed, and now she's giving us a letter of interest to be reappointed to the board.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the appointment of Pam Christman to the Ag Board.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
The other thing is, so in the legislature this year, a bill passed saying each governmental entity shall designate a person to receive all applications for public records. The good thing about this bill is that they fought long and hard to remove from it is a felony, I think.
Right, right.
If you missed it somehow. So anyway, the Clerks Association has been emailing around and about who their designee is. It's about 1/3 of the counties have someone from the county attorney's office, and about 2/3 of them have the county clerk as the designee. And I tried to pawn it off on that.
Thanks,
Kurt. So anyway, the board needs to appoint someone as a designee for public records.
So who's willing to do it?
I'm willing to do it.
My thought would be that the county clerk would be the designee.
Sounds like 2/3 of them people think that.
Yes. And 100% of the county attorney's office thinks that too.
All right.
I get the difficulty because the county clerk's office, there were many ways to fix the Public Records Act. This wasn't one of them because she only has access to the commission documents and to her documents, but there's still public records requests being made to the assessor's office, the sheriff's office, our office sporadically. And so, number one, I think it's pretty unfair to make somebody responsible for other departments' documents, but the law is what it is, and so we have to comply, and Carrie has graciously, I think, offered to perform that function.
In order to make this official, I'd entertain a motion to make our county clerk, the public records designee.
Second.
No, I'm entertaining
so
a motion.
So moved.
Okay. Do we have
second.
Okay.
One of us.
I don't think there's any further comments, so all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
And just for the record, our office will still handle all the public records requests and do the review and do the necessary redactions and get it back to the custodian. So but the process won't change. It's just this official designation that needs to happen under the amendment to the Public Records Act.
And I have to send that information into the Department of Administration. Okay, and every year Barney Snyder leases the Doyle property, and he has sent a letter this year again asking to lease this property. I included the last contract I could find is in 2011, so we need to have a new contract made up, but I needed to get it before the commission so that we could approve the lease.
But basically what we're going to do is approve an agreement that was the same as what we did last year in terms of lease agreement and payments.
Yes.
Okay.
He Hayes and he puts, the county gets 40% of his proceeds from the hay. And he's not allowed to run livestock.
Right. So I guess what I need is a motion to approve the lease agreement for the Doyle property with Mr. Barney Snyder under the conditions of he gets to keep 60% of the hay and we purchase the other, or other 40% at $60 a ton with no livestock.
Mr. Chairman, just to make it clear, the original lease, that price of hay was to be based on the game and fish price, what they were paying that year. And then we got a year where they paid quite a lot for hay. So since that time, it's been $60 a ton, but that said, you could buy no hay for $60 a ton anywhere in this county. And right now, you could probably get $150 for it if you had it. So I don't know. It's not a big deal because it's not a lot of ground. It's not enough to warrant putting it out for bid. We did that one year, mm-hmm. and we didn't get anybody.
Right.
So that said, I guess I'm all right with that, but $60 a ton is dirt cheap. That's my only point.
Well, I'd like to, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to. Joel's kind of right about 60 a ton, but I think under Barney's circumstances, if he puts in, I don't know what it costs him to put hay up. I know what it costs me to put hay up. So I'd have to put another about $45 on that $60 a ton, and then all of a sudden, that's kind of what it would cost me to put that 60 ton that he's going to buy back from us. So I'd be looking at $100 and some a ton, basically, with my expenses involved in it. That's where I'd be coming from. So, I would think, no, I don't know. I don't even know what the thing puts up. Probably, did it put up 40, 50 ton?
I think we figured that out at one time, Kerry, isn't it? It is 40 to 50 ton.
We kind of had a number. I forget what it was.
Yeah. It's about $650, something like that, is what we figured when we had the ag exemption.
That'd be 10 ton for 40%. So
well, he's selling us the hay. Or
No, he could put it up on shares, and our
right.
share he wants, and he's going to pay. I've done it for years. I know
yeah.
what this deal's all about.
I bet you do.
I do.
Yeah. yeah. But at any rate, that's. I understand the argument either way, and I understand certainly I've bought hay too, and I can't get hay for $60 a ton. But that's the arrangement we've had, and there's. A reason for that arrangement in terms of
well, it's better that. Off getting it hay
than
not,
yeah,
doing than
not
anything
getting
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
would be that's the point. Wouldn't get somebody to do it.
Yeah,
that looks a lot nicer mowed down, picked up, cleaned mm-hmm. up than it would if it was standing there.
Yeah,
for
so
sure.
That, I think that's part of the agreement.
Plus, we get the ag exemption because it is being used for agriculture.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the lease for another year, so it's written.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aye.
Unanimous. Okay.
I was somewhere.
me too, but it's not to the end of the agenda. Now, I think we have one more of the contract for services, right?
Yep.
For the golf course?
Yes. And Paige has already signed her part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I gave you one for signature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we have here a contract for services between Sublette County and P&G Golf. If I could have a motion to approve that contract.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to remember the last time. Was this a new vendor last year?
It was last year,
but not this year.
Right, they're renewing.
Yes.
But last year was the first year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't 2 years ago?
No.
So this is a change from 2 years ago.
This is and a continuation of last year.
Okay. Any input? Anybody know how that works? Is there any?
I don't have any
criticisms or anything.
Haven't heard a word.
I haven't either.
I'll throw something out there. And this is just my personal feelings. I feel like it's a golf course. It's a clubhouse. That was its intention. But we're also running a bar now. I struggle with that because it's open like a bar. There's no golfing happening from whatever, 9 o'clock till 2, but there's activity there as a bar scene. And I struggle with that as a county facility operating as a bar.
Well, we brought the golf committee in and had a discussion.
Yes, we did.
About some issues. And my question, did that get cleaned up or not? Or do we know?
No. Ask that question again, Joel. How about
prior?
It's before your time. Sorry.
Very well, baby.
I know
the guy that's out there now doing quite a job through the restaurant. That's all I can tell you about. I don't know any of the other issues.
And maybe we need to do lunch there one day.
Do they do lunch?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. And this is the contract for the pro shop, right? This isn't the contract for the bar and grill.
No, I'm not.
So Paige, I believe, resigned from the golf committee to be able to operate
the pro shop and the maintenance and scheduling of the golf course.
Yes.
Oh, that's what this is.
Yes.
This isn't the bar,
which encompasses the bar scheduling. Right?
It does, but there's another vendor.
There's a vendor running
the bar.
The bar
and grill.
That's where the issues
come. Which I won't say.
Right.
All right, so we're probably okay on this one, I guess. I think.
Well, the only
I have a solution.
The only question. I mean, the only.
I just was giving my personal feeling on that.
But I guess you've got me confused because this contract doesn't include the operation of the bar.
It encompasses the working hours of the bar.
There's some.
Overlaying.
Yeah, they do scheduling together, but this is only for the operation of the pro shop. But yes, Commissioner Noble is right. They all coordinate. The bar and grill operator, the pro shop, the golf course manager.
So the two contracts actually go hand in hand.
But they're working together to facilitate.
For scheduling purposes.
For scheduling.
For operational purposes. There are three separate contracts. Mm-hmm. There's a contract for the golf course manager, there's a contract for the pro shop, and then there's a contract to operate the bar.
Okay.
If you guys have questions, if you want further information regarding concerns of the past, then we can always entertain a motion to table this till next time. It's up to you.
I think I'm okay with it being it doesn't include the bar.
I'm okay because I think next time we're going to be busy.
Well, if you're okay with it, then give me a motion to approve the contract. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
Second. Third.
It's been motion and second.
Okay. It has. Get me sidetracked.
You asked for discussion. I gave you my personal feelings.
You sidetracked. you give me a discussion on something that doesn't pertain to the contract. Anyway, call them a question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 I did.
You said aye.
I did.
I did say aye.
Go ahead.
Motion carried.
When this is over, we'll talk.
Consider a motion for adjournment.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
I really need one. All in favor say aye. I think we need to go past.